Lights, we got, ooh. Pretty blue ones and green ones. Okay, I think I'm just going to tuck that in my pocket with prayers and hopes. Good morning. I'm feeling a little loud there, guys. There we go, bass. Bring on the bass. If you're visiting with us this morning, a very warm welcome to you. My name is Reverend Michael Mugford, and I am technologically challenged, but happy to have you with us in worship this morning. As we gather this morning, as you can see, we will be celebrating World Communion Sunday here at Cole Harbour Woodside United Church, and in the United Church of Canada, we practice an open table. All are welcome at this table, regardless of the background from which they come. It is Christ's table. It is not ours. And so all are welcome and will be fed this morning. If you're visiting with us, a very warm welcome to you. We're so glad you've chosen this morning to gather with us. Do let us know you have been here. We've got a guest book just outside the doors of the sanctuary here. And we share a coffee and fellowship time following the service. So if you go out the doors here and go to your left, keep following into the hall. There is a time of coffee and refreshment and conversation. So please do join us for that. If you think that Cole Harbour Woodside United Church might be a place where you would like to live out your spiritual journey at this particular point in time, please do have a conversation with me. I would love to tell you all about the wonderful ministry that we share together here at Cole Harbour Woodside. And as you can see by the friendly faces here this morning and who gather here, it is a wonderful place to gather and to worship God together. As we gather, we acknowledge the place on which we stand. We have been doing this as part of our work within the recommendations of Canada's Truth and Reconciliation Commission. One of the tasks of churches has been to ask us and to challenge us to acknowledge the territory in which we gather. And so on the screen this morning, you see the Maritimes and the way and the different nations and communities that have gathered here traditionally on this land. And so I invite us to share in the words of the acknowledgement of place. I'll just ask you to respond with the bold. And so as we gather in this place, we remember with gratitude that we live and worship on lands that are by law the unceded territory of the Wabanaki peoples, predominantly the lands of the Mi'kmaq, Maliseet, and Passamaquoddy.
And we acknowledge the Mi'kmaq people and their stewardship of this land throughout the ages. Cole Harbour Woodside United Church is a safe place for all people to worship, regardless of gender identity, race, creed, age, ability, cultural background, or sexual orientation.
And as we gather, we acknowledge also that we are first and foremost a community of Christ as we gather in this place. And so we light Christ's candle to remind us of that light that we bear within us and that we are called to carry out into the world. We light a candle representing peace. We follow the one who is called the Prince of Peace, and we are called to be peacemakers and peace bringers in our lives and in our communities. And so with this candle, we remember Christ's call to us. And finally, we light a candle in honor of those who serve. Those who serve in our armed forces, who here in Canada and around the world go to places where we cannot or would not go. They serve the cause of peace on our behalf. And so we honor them and their ministry. We think of those who are first responders, firefighters and peace officers, EMTs, those who staff our hospitals and our nursing homes 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, storm and clear. They are there for us when we are in our time of greatest need, and we honor them and their ministry in our community as well. As we gather, let us center ourselves with the singing of a new gathering song this morning. Come and find the quiet center. We'll sing verses 1 and 2, and it's in the hardcover, Voices United.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to God.
Let us give thanks for the goodness of God.
We give our thanks and praise to God.
Let us pray. God of all covenants, we come together to worship, a people who try to love you with all our hearts and souls, with all our might. There are so many things in our lives that clamor for our attention, that we often only think of you on Sundays and times when we want you to rescue us. We really do want you to be the one in whom we live and move and have our being. We really do want to hear your voice above all the other voices in our lives, but we get bogged down in the daily routine. So here we are, standing here today with our human foibles, our short attention spans, committing again to watch for signs of your Spirit known in us and through us. We commit again to the work of recognizing your presence, not only in the holy, but in the... We know we will continue to be challenged, inspired, and renewed. We will grow into the people you call us to be. May it be so. Amen. And our opening hymn this morning is number 159, this time in the choral bound, More Voices in Star and Crescent.
Today's scripture is from Deuteronomy chapter 5, 1 to 21, and chapter 6, 4 to 9. Moses summoned all Israel and said, "Hear, Israel, the decrees and laws I declare in your hearing today. Learn them and be sure to follow them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. It was not with our ancestors that the Lord made this covenant, but with us, with all of us who are alive here today. The Lord spoke to you face to face out of the fire on the mountain. At that time, I stood between the Lord and you to declare to you the word of the Lord, because you were afraid of the fire and did not go up the mountain. And he said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land, his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates.
Thank you, Mary Lou. If the children who are here this morning like to come forward, you're more than welcome to join me here at the front. We're front and center this morning. Yeah. Have a seat on the mat. Great. Come on up. Good morning. Good morning. Come have a seat on the mat. Great. Now, is there anybody who's here this morning who missed the blessing of the backpacks or one of the last couple of weeks and didn't get a blessed, I'm back and blessed button to take home with you? Did anyone not get one? I'll show you what they look like just so folks remember. Because they were so popular, we had to order more. So I have a whole new batch. So did anybody not get one? Because I don't want anyone to not have one. Did you get one? No? There's one for you. There you go. You can put that on your backpack or you can take it home. You got one? No? They're stuck together. Let's take the one that's not stuck together. There you go. Did you guys get one? No? Well, there you go. You guys each take one for each of you. You hold on to that. All right. Anybody else who was not here the last few weeks, did you guys get them? Yeah? Okay, great. I've got lots. If you think of anyone who has not been here that should have one, come see me. So, rule number one. For the children's time to begin, all children present must sit on the mat. Rule number one. All children present, before children's time can begin, must be sitting on the mat. All children present must be on the mat. Very good. Rule number two. All of you will address Reverend Michael as your great and wonderful holiness. No? Not happening? Rules are good, but sometimes they get silly, right? Do you have rules in your house? Yeah, you got rules? What's a rule in your house that's a good rule that helps everybody? So you have your treat, but you have to have it after lunch or supper. That's good. That helps to keep us ensure that we're eating properly, right?
No talk when the mom and dad don't say.
Okay, so you don't take food, pop, chips, or anything like that if mom and dad haven't said it. That's a good rule. Make sure you don't spoil your dinner. Make sure we don't eat too many things we shouldn't. Any other rules that are good rules in our houses? In my house, we don't always do it, but we try and live by, if you take it out, you put it back. Is that a rule? Yeah? What's a rule in your house? If you're not using the TV, it should be turned off. Good rule, because that saves electricity. Good for the environment. That's important, right? Right? What else? When I was growing up, no seconds until everybody's had firsts, right? You guys have that in your house too? Yeah? No? You're eating and go. Oh, wow. Well, that was a rule in our house. Now, what's a rule that's kind of hard to live by? Okay, so you got to do family things even if you're not in the mood. Yep, that happens. That happens. Yep. It's cool, right? You got a rule in your house that's not exactly fun to live by? Yeah. What's a rule that's hard? Maybe it's at school. What's a rule that's hard to live by? You have to go to the different class when the teacher says, even if you're not in the mood. You don't want to go to gym class, but you got to go to gym class because it's time for gym class, right? Right? Yeah. So rules are good things. They help us. They help to keep things moving. They help. Can you imagine what it would be like out on our roads if people disregarded the rules of the road more than they do? What if nobody obeyed the rule to stop at the stop sign at the bottom of Bissett Road here? There would be a lot more crashes in that intersection than there are, right? What if people didn't obey the rule that the green light means go and they just sat on their phones and were texting the whole time? Or texting while you're driving. Oh, there's a rule you're not supposed to do, right? So rules help to keep us safe. They help us to have good community together. They help us live together in family, right? In the scriptures that Mary Lou just read this morning, we have some rules. So we call them the Ten Commandments. And when God's people were coming out of Egypt and were going to go and live in the land where God was leading them into Israel, they had some rules they had to live by. So don't steal things. So don't take things that aren't yours, right? Be kind to your mother and your father, right? Your mother and father look after you.
Be thankful for what you have,
exactly. So don't try and take other people's stuff. That's a good, and that's in there as well. Very good, right? Be kind to your neighbor. And at the very end of what Mary Lou read this morning, I think one of the rules, and Jesus tells us this, that the greatest rule of all is to love God. Love God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And I think if we live by that rule, the other rules will be a lot easier. If we think, oh, I love God, so I probably shouldn't hit somebody. Shouldn't hit somebody. But if I love God, I wouldn't hit somebody. I wouldn't be mean to somebody. Or I wouldn't exclude them. Or I wouldn't tell them, you can't sit on the mat because you're not with us. Right? So rules are important. And they help us to be the community together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah, right. So in your public places, you can't make the rules for other people. Right. That's a good thing to learn. Yeah, that's excellent. So we have to be careful because sometimes we want to do things the way we want to do them. Right. And if everybody did things the way they wanted to do them, we wouldn't get a whole lot done. So that's really good. So if we love God first and foremost, then all the things that we do, we will do because we love God and because we know God loves other people and other people love God. So we're going to share communion this morning, and we're doing World Communion Sunday. Churches all across the world are sharing communion today. And so we're going to do it here, and then later on, other churches further and further west are going to do it because we love God, and we want to live together in God's way. So let's have a little prayer. We'll say, thank you, God, for rules, even the hard ones. Help us to love you. And share your love in all that we do. Amen. So we're going to sing a new song. I don't think we've sung this at Children's Time before. This is called Yahweh Be Praised. And Yahweh is a very ancient way of saying God. And it's in the Hebrew language. And so for many, many generations, our Jewish brothers and sisters have been calling God Yahweh. So we're going to sing that, and it's kind of fun. It's new. We'll do it a couple of times, and then it'll come up again in our singing, and we'll learn it better and better, okay? So let's stand up, and we'll sing together. Yahweh be praised. Thank you very much. And there is Sunday school programming for you upstairs to share in. Thank you. Allison Choir. I love it. That was good. I wanted to dance. Clap my hands. Pause with me for a moment of prayer. Oh God, may the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts who are gathered here this day, may they find their source in you, our rock and our strength. It is in Christ we pray. Amen. So, where did you first hear about the Ten Commandments? Any Sunday school? Sunday school? Yeah? Everybody found Sunday school? Yeah? One of the folks who was in one of my Bible studies many, many years ago in one of the other churches I served heard about the Ten Commandments from Charlton Heston. Cecil B. DeMille's movie, The Ten Commandments, right? So we're having a Bible study one time, and we were reading the stories of the Exodus, and we were reading the commandments from the Exodus and from Deuteronomy. And the person, after we finished reading, wondered where the rest of the story was. And I was confused, because I knew we had picked all of the verses. And they said, yeah, well, but, you know, the rest of the story, like the story about Moses and the Queen of Egypt. Like, where's that story? And all of those other things. And it took me a moment till I clued in, and I was like, oh, she was remembering the Ten Commandments. That was where she had first heard them. She hadn't read them from the scriptures. Hollywood does like to make biblical movies, but we do have to remember they take a lot of visual license and artistic license with those stories. Sometimes to the point where they claim to be almost recreations of biblical events. You want to see one that is completely far away from the biblical story, go have a look at Noah with Russell Crowe in it. Like, that was an interesting movie, but it had very little to do with the movie other than the fact there was a boat and there was Noah and there was a flood. So, but what happens when we're left with just the text? What happens when we're left with just the words of the scriptures as we find them? What do we do with those words? How do we interpret and figure out what the passages say to us in our day and age? Because they say things to peoples differently throughout the course of history. The words don't change, but the context in which we read them changes. It's the same with civic documents as well, constitutions. Why do we amend constitutions? Because when they were written, they meant one thing, because society had a particular viewpoint. But society's view of the world changes. And so we either have to reinterpret the words that we have, and our court systems help us to do that, or we have to rewrite the words. So how do we, in modernity, do we approach these ancient words and their direction and their wisdom? So this last week at the Tuesday Morning Thinkers group, we noted that some of these commandments have been codified into our law system. The prohibitions against theft and murder and false accusations in court, those find their way into our, first into British common law and now into Canadian codified law. And yet, even within those three commandments that seem quite straightforward, we talked about there being a lot of nuances there that have come about because of the circumstances of our societies growing and changing in increased complexity. And it's been suggested that in spite of the way we traditionally interpreted the scriptures, perhaps maybe it's time for us to look at the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, less as a law and more as a set of norms. And norms give us place in which to move and to grow. Normally, we don't do this. Maybe. Maybe we need to look at them in a less prescriptive way and more in a relational way. What might it look like if we we read the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, in light of the values that they put forward. How might we read those scriptures, thou shalt and thou shalt not, in the King James language? How would it look if we read them again, but tied to the second part of the passage that Mary Lou read this morning, which is from Deuteronomy chapter 6? How might we read, as I shared with the children, our Ten Commandments if we used, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength." What if we read the Decalogue with that as our underpinning? As Jesus said when challenged by the Pharisees to say, "What's the greatest of the commandments? You got 10 of them to choose from, Jesus. Which one?" It was a challenge. And he skips the Decalogue completely and moves to the Shema, the "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And he says, "Because I'm not letting you guys tell me how many commandments I can choose." He says, "And love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus doesn't allow the Ten Commandments to be the only commandments. He calls upon those who would listen to him and follow using that hermeneutic, if you want a new word to tuck in your back pocket, using that way of interpreting it. What if we as Christians, looking at the world around us, acknowledged God first and used the gifts, the talents, and the scriptures as we have them in order to change the world because of our love of God? What if we took the message of Greta Thunberg this last week, and thousands of people of all ages? We keep crediting the young people, and they are spurning us forward. But I saw pictures of that climate change rally in Halifax, and it passed the entirety of the spectrum of people. What if we approached climate change with the rubric, as a person of faith, I love God, and God loves me, and I love my neighbor as I love myself, as God loves me as my neighbor? You see the circular hermeneutic there? What if we did all that? We embraced action towards climate change with that in mind. How might we say, "Well, okay, I don't like carbon tax," or "I don't like having to think about changing from gas-powered or diesel-powered vehicles to other types of vehicles. I don't like thinking about buying local because it costs more money. I don't like that. But I love God, and God loves me, and God calls me to love my neighbor. How am I going to love my neighbor if I'm not helping my neighbor take care of the world? How do we love God if we tell people that, sorry, Canada's full. Sorry, no room." How do we love our neighbor if we think we have enough people? How do we love our neighbor if we think we don't have enough to share? Sorry, there's not enough food to go around here in Canada. Try somewhere else. We know that's not true. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." The Lord says to love your neighbor as you love yourself. yourself, says Jesus. So today we gather at the table. And as I shared with the children, World Communion Sunday is meant to be a Sunday when it was originated that Christians all around the world would celebrate our faith at the table. We celebrate what we talked, what we were talking about was our faith and our unity. But what if we come to the table because of our unity rather than to celebrate our unity? What if our unity is what's bringing us to the table rather than the celebration? What happens then to our celebration if we say, okay, we're already at the table, now what do we do? We share it with our brothers and our sisters. Go to our neighbors next door and say, hey, we've got enough. In fact, we've got more than enough. I have yet to be at a communion service anywhere, especially in the United Church of Canada, where there wasn't bread left over. And I suspect there will be bread left over this morning. I'm not sure how much bread Bill, you and Susan brought of the white bread that they offered, but there's one loaf of cornbread. That's not enough to feed this congregation. There's one tortilla. That's not enough to feed this congregation. There's one baguette. That's not enough to feed this congregation. There's one pita bread. It's not enough to feed this congregation. But one and one and one and one is more than enough. It's always more than enough. That's the table around which we gather. And when we allow our young people like Greta Thunberg and our elders like David Suzuki call upon our human hearts and our human beings to care for one another and for the planet, when we gather at the table because Jesus said, come all of you and eat. Do this in remembrance of me. When we sit in communion with one another here at Cole Harbor Woodside, knowing that thousands and millions of people to the east of us have already shared at the table, and thousands and millions to the west will do so, all today, 24 hours, somewhere in the world, someone will be celebrating communion. How amazing and unifying a thought is that? What if, rather than thinking of that which divides us, what if around the table we let all things fall away and remind ourselves that we are one, as God is one, that we will love God, and we will love our neighbors, and we will love the world, for there is no other way for us as Christians than to love. And so, not me, I am not inviting, but I share the words. Come to the table, be one, be fed, and be sent. For it is Christ's call so to do. And may it be so in us. Amen. Are there announcements that need to be shared this morning? Janet.
Good morning. 3 weeks from this evening at 5:30 is our annual potluck and auction. There are forms, I think, out in the narthex, so you can fill in a form and get it to me if there is something you would like to donate. There's also just a list that you can sign also, but I need your phone numbers if there's something you would like to bring. The forms you can put in the offering plates or give to me or bring to the office. You can call the office, let them know that you are going to bring something. Hold on to it, please. I would need the paperwork like within the next 2 weeks so I can get all the forms and everything done. But hold on to your donation until the 20th, and then you can bring it in, and we'll get that all sorted out. So I hope to see you all there. Thank you very much.
Good morning. A small but mighty group of youth went apple picking yesterday, picked almost 1,200 pounds. So if you ordered some, please come see us after church to pick them up. I've loaded them and unloaded them multiple times and don't want to do it any more than necessary. Thank you. And we do have a few extras.
Good morning. My name's Anne Woods. I'm with Coal Harbour Cares, which is our refugee sponsorship group. Hard to believe, but the Alisadis have been here for 6 months. I know time just flies by. And every time I go see them, they say, thank you for helping us come to Canada. And I keep saying, I had nothing to do with this, but you should see the people that helped you come to Canada. And they said, who are these people? Where are these people? So, 2 weeks from today, 20th of October, in the hall, from 2 to 4, it's just going to be like a drop-in. Our first family, Tagreed, she is an awesome baker. So she's going to bake lots of little treats, and they are delicious. So you've got to come. Bring the kids, going to have a kiddie section. Anybody that you know that helped this family in any way whatsoever, please invite them to come. I also found out that Jenna, who's the oldest daughter, is going to be 11 a couple of days after this gathering. So hands up anybody that knows how to sing happy birthday in Arabic. No? Oh. Okay, anyway, 2 weeks from today. Hope to see you in the hall. Thank you.
Good morning. I would like to invite everybody to come for a World Food Day supper here at the church hall. And it is on Wednesday the 16th, so that's the Wednesday after Thanksgiving Sunday, a week and a bit from now, 5:30. It's called a Three Sisters Supper. The Three Sisters are corn, squash, and beans, which throughout most of the Southern Hemisphere, this part of the world, is how they grow their food together, corn, squash, and beans. And we'll talk a little bit about that at the supper. But the supper is for all. We're accepting donations for the food bank. There will be a talk about the Canada Food Grains Bank, which is an organization out in it's in Canada, and some folks are coming to talk about that on October 20th. So let's celebrate our abundance here in Canada with a World Food Day supper. Please come and help out. There's sign-up sheets. I'd like to know how many people might want to come, and I also would love you to spread the word to everybody in our community and the communities around to come for a nice gathering supper on Wednesday the 16th.
Thank you.
I'm accustomed as I am to providing an off-the-cuff speech. I will attempt to do so. This is my only time that I will plug membership in the choir. I am looking for members, most notably tenors and basses. I would love some more of you to come up and join these hunky brutes that we have sitting in the back row. The whole reason I ask is I need a full four-part section in order to continue doing the sort of music that I pick every Sunday and these lovely people perform every Sunday. Without bums in seats, I can't do the music. So, if you're worried that all of that looks horribly intimidating, Don't be worried. You don't play that. I do. That's for piano alone. Just by a show of hands, who here can read text on a page? No, really? The education system has really failed us here. I find that tremendously difficult to believe. But that is literally the absolute minimum requirement to be able to come up here and actually engage in this wonderful music. You will learn how to read music with me. They will attest that I provide about 10, 15 minutes of thoroughly lovely instruction beforehand. So if you are at all interested, I would love to see some new people, especially tenors and basses. Hint, hint. And we meet Thursdays at 8 o'clock. I start at 8:01. So I hope to see a few new people. Thank you very much.
The challenge has been laid before you. Just a note to say that the flowers here at the front of the church have been left here in honor of Ron Seitman, whose life we celebrated yesterday as a community, and with great deal of memory and laughter and song. And so we recognize their presence here, beautifying the front of our sanctuary this morning. We're going to come to the table as generations of Christians have come to the table for generations and since the very early days of the church. Before we get into the liturgy, Ron has tried to instruct me, and I will try to instruct you this morning. When we go to share in the table, you are asked to move to your right. Everybody put your right hand up. There we go. Move to your right down your pew. Come out the end of the pew and come across. Your offering can be placed in the plate there. You will receive bread, and then you will be able to take whatever bread you would choose, and either Susan or myself will have a cup, and you will be able to dip in that. And then you will proceed. Do not go back to the right. Continue to the left, for it is the left, the way that you need to go. All right. So this group and this group will go over here and go around and come. So please try and go in an orderly fashion. And then this group and the choir will go to this table and go that way. Okay? Good. 3 years I've been here. Help me get it right this time, would you? Please turn with me in your bulletins to our communion liturgy. Let us pray. Generous God, we look at how you sustain and nurture the world, and we are awed by the beauty.
To see the love of friend and neighbor, discovering it is your love we receive.
We hear the sounds of creation, birds, children, music, laughter, and it fills us with much joy.
Thank you for the wonder that surrounds us and stirs our hearts.
Though creation sometimes weeps, for you created the heavens, earth, and all that is in them. You cast sunbeams, open flowers, feed insects. You are beyond the galaxies, under the oceans, and inside each grain of wheat.
You sustain all of your creation, but you will not without us.
Thank you for the wonders of creation and for your great trust in us. Though humanity sometimes weeps, for you smiled on an outcast Hagar, blessed her descendants, and you guided doubtful Israelites, leading them to freedom. You spoke through judges and prophets, providing words of wisdom. You lived among us as a teacher, healer, and friend, giving us a sacred path to follow. Thank you for the worldwide fellowship of disciples who faithfully attempt to share your love with all creation as we sing.
Holy, holy, holy God, O Lord, our Savior,
In Jesus, love incarnate, you provided all we need for each day. His words comfort the weary. His actions challenge the contented. His touch heals the sick. His presence feeds the deepest hunger in our souls. In Jesus and in his feast, you provide for us the sustenance we need to respond to the cries of creation. The bread of life. The cup of blessings.
Revive our thirsty souls.
The gathered community.
Strengthens our growing faith.
Though the church sometimes weeps,
we weep lovingly for you, God.
For centuries, Christians of different customs have gathered to commune with you and each other through the sharing of this feast.
In their partaking, you have been with them, just as you are with us now.
And so we join with our siblings around the world by remembering that on the night on which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and shared it with his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people in the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." God, we remember and give you thanks for your Son, and we ask that you would bless and pour your Spirit on these simple things, bread and wine.
May this broken bread hold in our taking. May this soul cup overflow in our sharing.
With these elements, nourish and sustain us, our way, our truth, our life, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sustainer. Praise be to you, now, tomorrow and forever. The unleavened bread reminds us of all who eat their bread in haste. It symbolizes for us all the refugees who, like the ancient Israelites, leave their homes and flee from danger. May it remind us, too, of the homeless in our own city and country. Tortillas remind us of the Central and Southern Americas, where faith and culture have colored one another beautifully, but also a place where Christians live with violence, drugs, and conflict as a daily reality. The baguette reminds us of Europe, with its vast cathedrals that are often empty. It represents those who keep the faith alive in lean times. It reminds us that the church is not a building, but a community of people.
We pray, O God, for your church in places where its power is diminished.
And cornbread reminds us of our Native American indigenous peoples who first recognized God in the rhythm of nature. It reminds us that the land we call home once belonged to others.
We pray, O God,
for your church as it exists in every land. May we learn from the earthly faith of our Native American brothers and
sisters. All things are now ready. The feast is set. These are the gifts of God for all of us, the people of God. Let us share in God together. So you're coming this way. I want you to go back that way and come all the way around. I know. Go that way and then come around. It's very crumbly. You can just dip it in. Sorry. There we go. A cup of blessing. The cup of blessing. Blessing. Beautiful. It worked beautifully. I finally learned. Let us pray together. This bread we have eaten comes from the earth. The wine we have tasted comes from the soil. Thank you, God, for sharing it all. Help us to lend our voice in caring for the earth. Help us to see the birds of the air, the fish of the water, the plants and animals that live with us as part of our communion in your love. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning, 633 in the Voices United. Bless now, O God, the journey. We have come together this morning. We have shared in the listening to God's word from our scriptures. We have thought about the ways in which that word applies to us and to our world in the words of our reflections. We have prayed for God's people in this place. We have sung to God's praise. My goodness, we have been about God's work. So, let us go from this time and this place out into God's world now to serve, to love, to care, to cry, and to rejoice. Amen. As I promised, a different closing.